Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And as you may have guessed this week, Kevin is returned to the magical studio in the sky.
That's right. That's why I said, I'm Kevin Carr.
Right, and not Brian Gibson.
That's right, Brian. We got rid of Brian.
Right, we sent him packing after after his... Well, he doesn't listen to the show, so I will say his lackluster performance last week.
Well, I have to say, I like Brian when he's in the studio with me, but I'll tell you when he's in the studio, when he's in the studio with you and me.
Right.
When he's in the studio with just you, it was infuriating to listen to because you left yourself wide open to just get taken down, and he didn't take you down.
Yeah, he's not as quick with the jump all over it speed that you are.
Yeah, you're so. Like, well, I didn't like this because I'm a freaking idiot. And Brian will be like, huh? Chirp, 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 chirp. That's it, you know, so.
So, but it was cool. We had a pretty good show last week, and I hope that we can deliver a fairly good July 4th weekend show.
Woo-hoo! The weird part
I was thinking about it, about our show, is that it's we're generally a weekend show. It's a very ambiguous date, but it plays, you know, for the most part, over the weekend on various radio stations.
Yes.
And all the movies will have been out for a couple days by then.
Yeah, you're going to be like, this movie's already done it or not.
Right, exactly. So when we make box office predictions, it's going to be a little weird this week.
Yeah, we're going to be like, we're going to guess that, you know, Speed Racer makes a triumphant return. And then when it doesn't happen,
right,
we're going to feel stupid.
Right. So that is just very interesting. July 4th is always an interesting weekend
a common
being a film
feeling
critic.
For you.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to slam you.
Fair enough.
Already. It's
cool.
I missed a week.
Well, let's put those slams on hold for 1 second, and I will tell everybody where you can get a hold of us. You can head over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies on the iTunes store there. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and you can give us a call, 614-388-8735. And leave us a little message if you'd like.
I heard we did have a message last week, but you just were too lazy to listen to it.
I was too lazy to listen to it, and I think it was from our friend, what's that guy's name?
Something like that.
The
guy who reviewed The Incredible Hulk for us?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he's a very cool dude. Sorry that I didn't listen to it last week.
I think the message was something like this. Hey, Neil Miller, you're an idiot.
Right. I'm sure he left that one this week. I didn't really check this week.
You didn't really? You just didn't check. You didn't really check. You just didn't check.
Well, normally I have it queued up while I'm working because we use Skype digital.
Oh, now you're giving away our secrets.
Well, I mean, we're in the digital age.
Okay.
But I didn't see any new messages. So.
Because you didn't sign in.
No, I was signed in for most of the week. But I've been gone all week. I was doing secret covert operations.
Oh, you're not even going to tell you what you were doing?
All
you
right.
You were hobnobbing with celebrities.
I went and saw The Dark Knight last weekend. So I don't want to say anything else because I feel nervous that I'm going to give too much away.
Yes.
Even when it's so awesome that I don't want to tell people anything about it. I just want people to just go see it. And
sort of like
love
the chicken, it's
me.
Really a guy.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Aaron Eckhart turns out to be a woman.
Yes. So. The Batpod is named a sled named Rosebud.
Right. Wow. So what's next? Fat Guy's Biggest Reject Loser update. We were just talking about this off the air.
You can go to Film School Rejects and see a picture of Neil with the Batpod and his own pod.
Yeah.
Neil has gained 87 pounds since we started.
I don't look like I'm doing very well, apparently. And I'm going to agree. That's not a very flattering picture. But if you do go to Film School
Rejects.
In your defense,
you're not that fat.
Right.
Because you look flipping enormous.
Right. I don't feel so good. And that was like, I sent that to like the reps at Warner Brothers. And I was like, look, we covered your stuff.
You're like, yeah, you totally covered it. I can't see around you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm back.
So thank you. It's good to have you back. So yeah, we might update in the next couple weeks.
When we actually weigh in. I don't think anyone stepped on a scale.
We're all just dreading this because it's gone so badly.
We're gonna go play racquetball tomorrow, and I'll be surprised if you can breathe when we're done.
Yeah, because I haven't worked out in a while because I've been gone. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We should talk about a movie.
Yeah, let's do a movie. The first one is the one that everyone's been waiting for all week. It's going to clean up at the box office. It's a shoo-in.
The quintessential movie star, Abigail Breslin.
Yes, in Kit Kitteridge.
Yes.
And American Girl. Abigail Breslin stars as a Cincinnati girl during the Depression who wants to be a journalist.
Dear Dad, here at home, things are hopping. The house is chock full of boarders, which keeps us pretty busy. There's the dance instructor. It's so much more fun here. A magician, two hobo boys, a mobile librarian, and of course, Grace. And a monkey?
Every morning, evening, ain't we got fun?
Daisy!
Now, can I interest you in a book?
So, I thought this was funny because I actually went to the junket of this and they held it in Chicago, which is where the American Girl store started.
Right. Like which is why you were there because you just wanted to shop at the American Girl store.
Oh, yeah. The heck with the Abigail Breslin.
You just want to get your hair did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any.
Right.
But
they could probably get you some, though, at the American Girl store.
That's
like
probably,
a nice, like, curly Sue wig.
Curly Sue? My God. Yeah. What sort of weird John Hughes fever dream are you in?
I don't know.
Okay.
That was the first thing that came to mind.
All right. Anyways, but the movie takes place in Cincinnati. It's filmed in Toronto. What's interesting about it is I just find it funny that I live in Columbus and they flew me to
Chicago
for a junket about a movie that takes place in Cincinnati but was filmed in Toronto.
That stars Abigail Breslin, who's from...
Not Toronto. Okay, you're about as prepared as you were last week.
New York.
Okay,
she's from New York, New York.
She's a sweet girl. She's really cool. She has a crazy publicist, but
who I hope is listening.
Who
to
I'm
this.
Sure is not yes. listening because she would. She actually, the publicist wouldn't let her do a tag for the show.
I
asked
know.
Her to do a fat guy's tag, and the publicist stepped in, and she's like, "No,
this is a little creepy."
This was the same publicist who, when she got out for the red carpet, like went after the little girls asking her for her autograph.
Really?
Yeah,
did she like elbow any of them?
She punched him in the face. Teeth were flying. It was like a hockey match.
Oh, yes.
And then
I love
Abigail
this
Breslin,
publicist.
Abigail Breslin, who's just a normal little 12-year-old girl. I mean, she's like, everyone asks questions and she'd be like, I just like to go shopping with my friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're not this genius. You know, you're just this little girl. You're just a 12-year-old girl. So very nice girl.
Fair enough.
Anyways, the movie...
It was cute.
It was cute.
It's okay if you're a 12-year-old girl, I suppose.
Very much for the American Girl following.
Yeah, I really didn't get into it.
And you don't follow the American Girl. You just hang out at the store in a trench coat.
I don't even know where the stores are.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I have no idea. I was very unaware of the American Girl, like that thing. So I went on Wikipedia and I looked it up and I was like, what's the big deal with this? And why is this movie so kind of corny and... You know, the one thing that bothered me though is the story is all about hoboism. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like hobo racism.
Yes.
And people are afraid of hobos, and Kit Kittredge, you know, tries to expose the hobo.
Proves that the hobos
are nice people.
Are not criminals, and we know they are.
They should
are
get to
criminals.
Ride in the front of the bus and stuff like this. And I'm totally like. That got a little annoying after a while.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
it does
what
get
kind
a
of
bit
lesson?
Cheesy.
This is a movie for 12-year-old girls. What kind of lesson are we trying to teach them? It's all about hobos.
Yeah, it's like the message to the girls is go make friends with the homeless people,
right?
Even if they smell like urine.
So I'm gonna say kind of suck because it's really such a niche film.
Well, you know? and that's actually why I'm gonna give it a kind of rocks because for the audience it's going for, it works, but it still kind of has that sort of after school special sort of Saturday morning movie.
Fair enough.
Thing. So
cool.
Every morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but honey, ain't we got fun?
And for those of you who did not notice, that was a break. We're now back from the break.
Yes. They figured this out by now.
Right.
Neil,
sometimes we just talk and the break happens.
Yes. Well, because the draconian people who run the clock at film, Fat Guys of the Movies, in the magical studio in the sky, just have no tolerance for
rambling. They will absolutely cut us off if necessary. So.
And if we don't stop, they will chop body parts off.
Right. So in case you missed it, I said that Kit Kittredge, an all-American girl. What is it called?
Kit
Kittredge,
American
an American girl. Kind of sucks. And Kevin said kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
So. We're moving on to the little indie film of the week.
Hey, that's my line. That's what I used during Iron Man.
Right. Well, you know, trust me, there's enough big summer movies coming out, you get to use that line like 18 more times before the end of August.
I get to use that line for Meet Dave.
For Meet Dave, yeah.
And well, Space Chimps.
Space Chimps, yes. But we're talking about Hancock, and in Hancock, Will Smith gets his drink on as an alcoholic superhero who tries to reinvent himself. Aw, hell no.
Hancock's latest act of so-called heroics has once again enraged city officials.
I can smell that liquor on your breath.
Because I've been drinking.
I do public relations.
People don't like you, Hancock.
I look like I care what people think.
I think you're wasting your time with this guy.
You're a superhero, for God's sakes. People should love you.
How are we going to do that, right?
Right now, there's a DA trying to figure out how to come up here and put you in jail.
I say you go.
Hmm? He's not going to go.
People take you for granted, you know? We got to make people miss you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't believe you put that in the little quote, and then I read it.
You read it anyways. It's sort of like Anchorman, where you're like, and F you, San Diego. You know, that's gonna be you.
Oh, hell no. But I don't remember, does he say that in the movie?
I don't think he does. And you know what? I don't think he said it in like
I don't think he said it in anything but like.
Well, he said it. He may have said it in.
I don't even think he said it.
But I don't think he did. Last couple movies, he hasn't.
But like, he didn't even say that stuff in like Bad Boys.
Yeah.
I went back through and watched Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2.
Did you see the Bad Boy shot? The Bad Boy shot for Hancock.
Maybe I didn't know.
Where the camera just went around and around. And it just kept going.
But that was like annoying. That was like Peter Berg like making fun of Michael Bay.
Well, you know what? I'm going to launch in with my venom.
Yeah, I want to hear this because I think my opinion's on the other side.
First of all, anyone who knows me, I'm not a huge fan of Michael Bay, but I think he serves a certain purpose in filmmaking. And especially now that he's kind of figured his purpose and realized that he's not to make giant epic romances like Pearl Harbor. But Peter Berg, I've never been a big fan of. I've not really liked any of his films. Kingdom was probably his best, and it was okay. It was decent, but it wasn't awesome. And Hancock, if there's anything that shows that he is just so trying to be Michael Bay, it's watching Hancock. But it like he goes even like hardcore, and so like the soundtrack was like overproduced, and it was very heavy, sort of like almost rap style, and. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the movie's about this lumpy sort of bleh superhero who causes more destruction than the people he saves, and it seemed to change into different movies as the movie went on, and then suddenly then it went this way, and then they're revealing secrets that make no sense, and there's so many problems with the movies that I don't want to really pinpoint them because you give stuff away by talking about it.
Right.
Like, for example, there's a thing where there's a character who is supposed to be as far as stay away from him, yet they live in the same city. And you're like, you're not really following your own rules.
Right.
You know, and there's just so many plot holes and didn't make a whole lot of sense. And he's a superhero, yet he's an alcoholic, but he's pervious to poison, but alcohol affects him. That makes no sense. I know I may be overthinking this a little bit.
I think you are.
But it just annoyed me, and then he's like, well, I just want to stop drinking, and bloop, I'm going to stop drinking. You know, they don't really see him solve his problem. He just kind of puts on a suit and shaves.
Yeah, I thought it kind of danced back and forth over the line of like, do I want to be a comedy or do I want to be a serious movie? And it wasn't. People were saying going into the movie, it's very dark. I don't think it was dark enough or light enough. I thought it. That was probably the movie's biggest problem, is it never really decided what it wanted to be.
Absolutely.
I think it still works because I had a lot of fun with just Will Smith. I think Will Smith, this is why my theory, I keep coming back to my theory that he is the last great movie star, because he makes a movie like this.
It's the most recent.
Well, I mean, I don't.
There will be somebody.
There may be somebody else, but I mean, he is like the one in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
And he makes the movie at least palpable and somewhat enjoyable for me, despite all the rest of the flaws. And I thought Jason Bateman was really funny in the movie.
I don't think they used him enough. It was, to me, it felt like, to me, there's so much of the movie that was that backyard scene in Transformers where it had cool stuff in it, but it would just got really goofy at times.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing with, even though I like Will Smith, I think he did well, and it's not without its merits. There's some really cool action moments. When he turns on the superhero stuff, it's really, really cool. I will give you that. But then just when you're like saying, okay, well, maybe this movie's going to be good, it just stumbles and does something really stupid. Like there's a bad guy in it, sort of. And he just like shows up in the middle, but then he's supposed to be the big bad. And it just, but he's the worst bad guy ever because nobody cares. And he's just this, he's just this bank robber.
Right.
And there's nothing to him. And so it, what's funny is when I saw the movie, I really thought it was haphazard. I called it in my review on Film School Rejects. I called it a Humpty Dumpty movie where it's all just kind of falling apart and they're trying to put it together. Mm-hmm. Then I went and I read up on the review and apparently they had this script and then they changed the script and they changed it again. And then they said, well, we need to make it family friendly and Will Smith is going to be in it. And then they're going to be like, oh, then they got an R rating and they had to cut out scenes. And I'm like, that makes total sense.
Right. It looked very haphazardly put together.
It looked like a patchwork. And when I found out that that's what it was, I'm like, I can see where this movie resulted from that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I think it's one of those, I don't know, it's one of those kind of suck movies where I can tell.
So you're giving it a kind of sucks?
I'm giving it a kind of sucks, but I'm really on the line because I still enjoyed some of it. You know, I still thought it was okay, and I still thought Will Smith was good. I'm half tempted to say kind of rocks.
You're on the fence on this one.
I'm very on the fence on this one because it has a lot of problems, but in its essence, there's a lot of cool action, and it's Will Smith, and it's a solid 4th of July movie. And
when there are action scenes, like
there have been worse this summer, by far.
Yeah, I mean it's
so.
Well, it's like this was actually on my list of top 8 movies that were the 8 movies that are going to suck ass this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And while Kung Fu Panda was on the list and it didn't, The Love Guru was awful. I went and saw that. So we'll talk about that in the next segment.
That's what you thought.
But the Zohan was also on that list. And I'm like, well, the Zohan wasn't that good, but it wasn't excruciating to watch. And that's kind of how I feel about Hancock. I'm like, there are moments that are really, the superhero scenes, the bank robbery scene's really cool. The big fight in LA is a really cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
The opening sequence is pretty cool.
Right.
You know, so whenever they have the big superhero moments, it works, but then it just turns around and goes into silliness.
Right. So I think I'm going to go kind of rocks because it's both being on the fence and the need to disagree with you.
Because I'm going to say it's a full on suck.
Right. It's not enough for me to just say kind of sucks. I think I have to go kind of rocks on Hancock because if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm really interested in that Will Smith movie that came out, should I go see it? Be like, yeah, if you're interested in it, go see it. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, for his audience, you know? It'll work. But
I'm not going to like go out of my way to be like, you have to see Hancock.
I'm hearing people going like, it's going to make $150 million over the 5-day week. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's more than Transformers did.
Yeah.
And I went, what's funny is I went and saw Love Guru and Wanted this week on Tuesday night, which is when Hancock opened for early screenings.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was leaving the theater, they were doing their early screenings and like no one was there. You didn't have big long lines. You didn't have that anticipation. Last summer, people were there at 8 o'clock to see Transformers on July 1st, and it made something like $15 million that night.
Yeah,
and you just didn't. This was not the case with Hancock. I think you're going to get people going to see it because it's Will Smith and it's 4th of July weekend.
Yep.
But I think it's going to sink like a stone.
And I think all the people that go out and see it for that reason aren't going to be totally disappointed with it.
No.
But they're not going to be like going and grabbing busloads of friends.
Well, know,
as they will be with The Dark Knight.
I was talking with one of the screening reps after seeing it, and they're like, and one of the people was like, yeah, well, I liked it. I could see them making a sequel. I'm like, yeah, but Will Smith won't do a sequel to this one.
Right.
So what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with like Chris Tucker in Hancock 2. And that one is really going to suck.
Nice. So you're going totally sucks?
I'm going absolutely totally sucks. Cool. I wouldn't do Joe Jewett from CD101, where we're on Friday morning.
Right.
He gave, I believe the Love Guru was it couldn't suck more.
Couldn't suck more.
Yeah. I'm not at that level for it.
Okay.
But I'll agree with him on the Love
Fair Guru. Enough. And I got a couple seconds left. There are two limited releases that I would like to recommend. These are movies that I will go out of my way to recommend in LA and New York. If you're in LA and New York, you got The Whackness, which is Jonathan Levine's mid-90s coming-of-age story, best way to describe it. And you've got Gonzo, the life and work of Hunter S. Thompson, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. Finally getting
their releases. Is that not about releases. Gonzo the Great, the little turkey thing in the Muppets?
Nope. Those are finally getting their releases. So, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of box office here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Yeah.
the hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Neil, as I had missed a couple movies over the last couple weeks, one of them by the fault of God, I like to think, keeping me and protecting me from the love.
Yet you still went to see it.
I made a point to go see it. I paid $9 to see this movie.
You are a dedicated film critic slash reviewer guy.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The reason I went to go see it, I was just going to skip it and maybe catch it on DVD.
It's because Brian and I both liked it, didn't
we? No, it was actually because it's getting such scathing reviews, and it bombed so hard. And it was one of those movies that I'm like, you know, when it comes to the end of the year and I'm making my top 10 worst, I want to at least be able to say,
well,
I saw it, and yes or no, it makes the list.
It's funny because I was having this discussion with another film critic while I was out in LA for the Dark Knight junket about how I believe that you have to see what are considered the worst movies of all time to be able to tag bad movies and good movies. You have to know what the worst is. If you avoid all the bad movies and just see all the ones you think are going to be good, you're doing your readers a disservice. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, you said that on the show last week, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
because you were trying to explain
to
Brian.
That's flows. Right.
You wanted to explain to Brian why he should see Meet the Spartans.
Yes, I had this conversation like three times in the last week
and
three
different
people.
And you're absolutely right, because I know people who, like, when they find out I'm a film critic, they're like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, well, it's not just seeing Dark Knight early in the week in a private IMAX screening. You got to see a lot of garbage.
Yep.
And you need to see it all so you can put it all in perspective. Because then when there's a movie like, say, Get Smart.
Right.
Which I thought was good, but not awesome.
Right.
But I can sit there and say, no, it could have been a lot worse. Look at all this other garbage that came out this year. And that's why I paid to go see, like, Dungeon Siege and Meet the Spartans and stuff like that. And why I ultimately went and saw The Love Guru. And I have to say, it did not disappoint my expectations of crap. Actually, no, you know what? It went beyond my expectations. I laughed literally once.
Oh, man. See, I laughed a lot.
There were
a lot of gags that got me. Some of the language stuff where when he would say something, it would sound like something else.
Like his town, little town of Heron Maquista?
But no, where he asks him what he can't face at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Well, see, but, you know, it's just everything was such a cheap joke that I could figure out, and it was not a surprise, or it was so bad, it was so much trying to be like Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
The opening scene where he's playing a sitar and he's singing 9 to 5, you're like, it makes no sense. In Austin Powers, they do that little Quincy Jones jive song thing or whatever whatever it's called, mambo something, salsa, something like that.
No idea.
But the Austin Powers movie had that whole thing, which is sort of a takeoff on Hard Day's Night, and it's a takeoff on In Like Flint, and it has the whole steeped in the 60s. And then they're like, well, let's do something like that. Let's have the Guru pick Kasey and a Dolly Parton song.
Right.
What? It makes no sense. And then the other thing they did in the movie that really enraged me, they did the Meet the Spartans stuff where they, like, told you and it wasn't even jokes. Like, you've seen the trailer where he's doing the voiceover machine.
Right.
And it's the trailer guy doing the voiceover. When the movie, it's Morgan Freeman doing the voiceover.
Right.
So they zoom in on the voiceover machine, and it's turned to the Morgan Freeman setting.
Right.
And then he looks at the camera and goes, oh, I like to use the Morgan Freeman setting. As if you don't know that that's Morgan Freeman's voice,
you don't watch enough movies.
It's not the law.
You
joke's
obviously
lost.
Yeah.
And then they also did the same thing. They're in Buffalo, and then they go to Niagara Falls, and it's just this obvious wide shot of them, but it's two guys that look like the Guru Pika and Daryl Roanoke, and the voiceover is like, "Wow, Niagara Falls is really beautiful this time of year," and you're like, are you kidding me? You just needed to tell me that that's not... As if you couldn't see Niagara Falls right behind them.
Wow. Are you done yet?
I'm done. The only thing I laughed at...
I think we've wasted like a solid 4 minutes talking about
the Vern Troyer blooper at the end is the only thing I laughed at. I was in the theater alone, funny. Though.
Well, you were laughing by yourself. You didn't get the crowd reaction. When I was there, the crowd laughed pretty hard.
I saw Geely, and the crowd laughed at Geely.
For other reasons, obviously.
No. Honestly, when I saw
Geely, thought it was funny.
For free screening, they...
That's why movies make money.
Brought the house down. Then I saw Wanted, which was really good, I thought. Not great, but pretty good.
Well, yeah, fun. Mm-hmm. Good comic book movie.
And you got to see Angelina Jolie's butt.
Which is always good.
Which is not pregnant.
not pregnant
in the movie.
But, yeah. So let's talk about box office. We had Wall-E and the aforementioned Wanted come out. And Wanted was really the start. Wall-E blew everybody out at the box office, got its $63 million, did just as well, I think, as everyone predicted. You know, I think Pixar might have hoped that it would have really burst out, but it did well.
Well, but if you look at the Pixar totals, the highest grossing, it's the third highest Pixar total for opening weekend, and the other ones were like The Incredibles and Finding Nemo, which were like
right.
70.
And I think honestly, I was a little worried going into Wall-E about whether it was really getting to people, whether people understood the movie, you know, because it was probably a tougher movie to market because, you know, the main character doesn't talk. He's R2-D2, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it still did well. Wanted, though, $50 million, way above everybody's expectations.
Oh, that blew people away. But that's where counter-programming worked.
Right.
Because I was in Hilton Head last weekend, which I do want to thank you for announcing to everybody on local radio and the internet that I was on vacation.
Yeah.
Because when I came home, we didn't have any of our TVs or electronics, and there was a Cuban family just huddling in our house.
We didn't announce where you live. That's your problem for giving out your address to everybody you know.
We're listening to the show. I'm listening to my wife. We're listening to last week's show. We're in a hotel room near Charlotte, North Carolina on our way back. And she's like, does he have to announce it to everybody that you're out of town?
And then you go on
the radio. You're like, yeah, he's out. Oh, he's going to be out of town till Sunday. Like, Neil.
I didn't know that was bad. Who cares? Nobody knows where you live.
No, but I was in Hilton Head, and I took my kids on Friday, opening day, and it was like the 4 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And the theater was pretty doggone packed. So it definitely was getting to the audience.
Okay.
So
very cool. And yeah, I think Wanted was a good surprise. And we were just talking off the air a little bit about some of the other movies that are still hanging around, Indiana Jones and Iron Man, and how Indiana Jones' staying power. It's pretty impressive. I mean, I was just looking. I don't think anybody really realizes that it has cleared the 700 million mark.
Worldwide,
yeah. Which is big.
That's huge.
Big.
Not a whole lot of movies have done that.
Right.
I mean, stuff like, you know, Titanic, you know, Spider-Man, Employee of the Month. All these movies seem to have cleared 700. They love it in France.
Yeah.
It made like 680 million in France and 20 million everywhere else.
They love that Dane Cook.
They say Dane Cook is the new Jerry Lewis.
They just can't get enough of him. But I think there's something to be said about that. And I think it's more the universal appeal of Indiana Jones being such a well-known character around the world. Whereas Iron Man, I mean, it does show that Iron Man is kind of a, not only a new character, but a B-level character in the Marvel universe.
Sort of like a B-plus character.
He's a B-plus. I mean, he's way cooler now.
In Marvel, it's Spider-Man, the Hulk, and a lot of times, like Captain America, and then they'll throw Iron Man in as like the sort of the anchor characters. But it's really Spider-Man and the Hulk that everybody knows.
Right. So to see that Iron Man is, you know, almost at 600 million worldwide, huge success. We don't want to take anything away from it. But I think Indiana Jones has really proved that, you know, big sequels do well, which bodes well for that other big sequel that's coming out this year.
You mean The Dark Knight?
That has universal appeal. I found out this statistic.
Actually, I think it has Warner Brother appeal.
Yeah. I found out this week that they do, you know, they do the awareness polls.
Uh-huh.
And it might have been Fandango or Gallup that was doing the poll, and they said that Indiana Jones had something like a 44% awareness 3 weeks before it was coming out. So, you know, theoretically, 44% of the people they polled
technically 60,
knew about it.
66 or 56% of the people are like, Indiana Jones? What say Indiana Jones? I don't know. Who do they poll? How do you have only 44% people know? What are they polling? The Amish?
I have no idea.
They're going out to...
Or maybe they just didn't know that another Indiana Jones movie was coming out.
How could you not?
The Dark Knight polled at the same time was 100. Every single person knew that The Dark Knight was coming.
They obviously pulled in different places. They didn't pull the Amish for The Dark Knight because I have no idea how you could not be aware that there was an Indiana Jones movie coming out.
But I think...
Have you said, is there a Hellboy sequel? Oh, I can see where people didn't know that. But my dead grandfather knew that there was an Indiana Jones movie coming out. So. The last movie he saw was Driving Miss Daisy.
But I think that says something for the Dark.
You have no response to that last comment.
What, the dead grandfather comment? Yeah. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, the bottom line is, I think what it is that Paramount, with the exception of the Love Guru, Paramount's cleaning up this summer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I think they already hit $1 billion, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
They already cleared $1 billion.
Yes.
That's big. That's a big deal.
Yes. Now, what are your thoughts on this weekend? Do you think obviously Hancock's going to win the weekend?
Right. And I think Hancock's going to do well because it's Will Smith and the dude. I mean, he's a big movie star, and people will go see the movie just because I went to see it just because of Will Smith. Normally, I would be like, oh, I missed the press screening.
What do you mean? You saw it because you didn't want to be an idiot.
I didn't want to look like I didn't want to look like the kid who wrote the short bus to the magical studio in the sky.
Yes. Even though you do with those headphones on your head, you look like a bug.
But yeah, I think people will go see it because of Will Smith, and it's going to do well. And, you know, Kit Kittredge, how many theaters is it in? Like 10?
No. It's in a decent amount.
I think that'll do okay, but I think
it's going to do mid-list, but it's not. I honestly think that
WALL-E will do very well again. You know, it'll be a lot closer to Hancock than maybe we thought. Wanted is going to continue to do well because I think a lot of people are surprised.
I think there's a certain curiosity to Wanted because they're like, wow,
what is it about this movie that made it make $50 billion?
Wake up, Neil Miller.
I'm here.
Okay.
That's really it. I don't know, what, 5-day totals for Hancock? 100 million? I mean,
I'm thinking 100 to 110.
That's fair enough.
But I really don't think it's going to make... Generally, the way you can really judge a movie's staying power is you take what they make their opening weekend, and you divide it into what they make in their total.
Right.
And if it's more than about 1.5 or 2, it's actually pretty good.
Right.
But I really think Hancock's going to, like, whatever it makes its opening weekend, it'll be lucky to double that.
Right. I think it'll top out at around 150.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people are all going to see it because it's the people are going to see it over the weekend. I don't think it's going to get very good word of mouth because I think it's getting mixed word of mouth right now.
Right.
And then when it comes, you know, next week, I mean, even though it's a light week next, well, there's three movies opening wide next week, but nothing, there's not like the Dark Knight opening.
Right.
I just think it's going to sink, and then it's just going to get completely clobbered by the Dark Knight. So it'll do well, but it's not going to be a huge, huge success. And I think WALL-E is going to just truck through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I loved WALL-E.
Nice little family flick. I honestly think that if you're going to take the family out this weekend, you should go out and see WALL-E first before you see Hancock. I think it's easily a much better family film. Hancock is really just for the action junkies.
It's not a family film.
For all the people that can't wait for The Dark Knight, it's like number 8 on the top 10 things you should do in between now and the time The Dark Knight comes out.
Okay, did you make that up just now?
Just now.
That
just happened.
I'm going to bask in your brilliance.
So, and you know what else is just happening? Time to go to a break.
Oh. Well, I'm suffering here in the magical studio in the sky because Neil just farted.
I don't know if that's true.
It is totally true.
I don't smell it, though.
Well, that doesn't mean that it didn't exist.
Well, I mean,
it's like a tree falling in a fart forest. If Neil farts in the room...
How is it making your life uncomfortable?
Because you've been farting all night.
Thank you for putting that all out there.
You're the one who put it all out there.
I would like people to know that I'm flatulent.
Well, because you don't fart? What, are you like the pretty girl at school?
I also don't poop.
Have you...
And then I read the book Everybody Poops, and I was like, maybe I do.
Yeah, is that what that is? I might want to change my shorts. But you know what? It's going to be a total aside, but your mom will be happy because it's not specifically about poop.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed, you know, like pretty girls never want you to know that they fart, even though they do just as much, if not more, than we do because they always eat salads.
You fart if you eat more salad?
Well, it's fiber. Well, that's because you drink beer all the time. Beginning to end, you have it in a big...
You should see the huge mug that I got at the movie tavern tonight. I got one of the big...
What is it, like an
86
ounce? The
big honker and mug.
Really? How much does it cost?
It was like $17. It was like the $17 Blue Moon.
Actually, it costs more than the movie admission.
It's only like $5 to have it refilled with whatever's on tap.
Can you bring it in?
You do. You bring it back.
Wow.
They charge you like $10 for the cup when you first get it, but you can bring it back with you.
See, but I can't do that because I have my kids with me. I can't literally just totally tie one on while I go see like Wall-E with my children.
I will when I go see movies with your children.
You did when you saw a superhero movie next to us.
Yeah.
You're like drinking. You're like, hey, Liam, you want some of this? You know.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't care. They're not my kids.
About pretty girls farting. It's like they don't want you to fart, but then when they do, it will clear the room. Trust me. I was at my wife used to work at Blockbuster Video, and way back in my days when I was, you know, I wasn't rich and famous like I am now.
Right.
So she was working one night and I was in there picking. This is before we had kids. And there was, I was like, wow, that girl's really cute. You know, and she was this cute little blonde and she had these tiny little tight pink pants on.
Right.
And she like paid for a movie and just bolted the fuck out the door. And I'm like, what? And then I walk up and I'm like, oh, and I look at, and like my eyes start to water. And I like, I know why she left. The same thing happened once at a Kroger and there was just this gorgeous girl in front of us in line and she booked out of there. And we get up and my wife looks at me and she like gives me this look like, and I'm like, and I say in full volume, I go, don't look at me, man. And you know, I would own up to it if it was me.
Right.
And nobody in line, everyone in line was like, wow, what was that? And I go, that was that hot chick
that
just let one rip. Once I was at the gym, at another gym, and I was doing the Stairmaster. And what's nice about the Stairmaster is they always like put them behind other Stairmasters. So when there's hot chicks doing it, you can look at their ass the whole time.
I don't do that.
And they don't, everybody does that. It's like everybody poops. Everyone looks at asses.
But hopefully not. Hopefully not. Few people are looking at mine.
I hope not.
Because as we've already discussed in this show, mine is getting a little bigger.
Anyways, I don't care if the girl farts or not. If somebody farts in the room, it is suddenly completely unappealing to look at a hot girl's ass.
Because you're...
That's a universal truth of life. You could
be looking at the source.
Well, it's just, because you're so preoccupied with what just came out of somebody's.
Right.
That. So, and while we're on tangents...
Fire away.
I was driving today, and gas, and we live in Columbus, Ohio. Gas is at about $4.04 a gallon.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It was $4.40 something in LA this weekend.
It costs.
Thank God I don't drive.
Like $3.85 for a pack of Marlboros. It is cheaper to start smoking.
Kill yourself.
It is cheaper to start smoking than drive like to a movie theater.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was funny because last week I went to do the radio spot on CD 101 every Friday at 9:20. But this was we just switched. So this weekend we'll be on later, but nobody cares about that. Wow. So I went and did the radio spot. And I needed gas, so I went down the street and I got gas for like $3.70 something.
We're still talking about gas.
And I was like, "Oh my god, $3.70 is ridiculous." So I got home, back to my house.
$3.70. That's like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
So I got back to my house, and my brother had come down for the weekend to hang out and see the Wanted screening that we hosted here in Columbus, and Brian was also here to do the show. And they were all getting ready to leave, and I was like, "Oh yeah, man, gas is cheap today." And apparently they paid like $4.10 later in the afternoon. And apparently the, oh my God.
You may want to put both shirts up for this one.
So apparently they, like gas went up a full almost 50 cents from 8 o'clock in the morning to like 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, it'll do that. And sometimes if you're lucky enough, you can catch where one gas station has updated their prices and the other one hasn't.
Right.
And they're like right across the street from each other.
Right.
And they're like 30 cent difference.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's ridiculous.
Well, it's gas prices are so through the roof. It's
my roommate bought a bike.
I would ride a bike if I could, but I can't.
Like physically can't?
No, I'm just kidding. I just bikes are expensive. That's the problem.
Yeah, my roommate bought one.
Maybe I'll just steal your roommate's.
He doesn't lock it up or anything. I don't know if that's smart.
There was something else I was going to talk. Oh, can I talk about something I was going to talk about last, like 2 weeks ago?
Sure.
I was in the Columbus airport, and they have what's called a massage bar.
I saw that.
Did you see that? Did you check it out?
Had security gone a little bit faster, TSA, you guys suck.
Yeah.
But I would have stopped.
Did you see the sign though?
No.
Because it says, I think it says,
did it say something about happy ending?
It said a happy ending, or it said, I can't remember what it was, what they actually specifically said.
Right.
But anyone who knows anything about internet and what happens with massage masseuses, you get over the internet. A happy ending means something very. Oh no! single shot, double shot, because it was like an espresso bar.
Oh, right.
And it was like the massage bar was right next to the espresso bar. Well, if you were to say you get a single shot with your massage, you're not talking about espresso in a normal...
Could be a whole slew of different things.
Yeah, let's say for the internet purchase massage, a single shot...
Or the massage you purchase at any, you know...
Or the ones that are like...
Backstreet.
Like if you were to go to one of the massage... like one of the spas that really looks more like just an old gas station that has a giant open neon sign. And
right.
That's it. Or just a spa in big red letters. If you're to get a single shot or a double shot at those, it means something totally different.
I understand.
Yes. There was something else I wanted to talk about.
No idea.
That was completely random. But
how do you feel about Sacha Baron Cohen and Will Ferrell playing Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson?
Which one's playing? I would imagine Sacha Baron Cohen's is Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Will Ferrell is Watson.
Are they going to do it seriously? Because this is something
that's going to be a comedy. It's Judd Apatow's writing it.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's going to be silly.
It might be good.
Yeah.
I like them both, and I thought they were both very funny in Ricky Bobby.
They were funny in Ricky Bobby.
Will they make out?
I'm not opposed to this. No. But what's weird is now that this is the second Sherlock Holmes project that has come out. There's the Guy Ritchie one where he wanted Robert Downey Jr. to play Sherlock Holmes that is still in development. So, I mean, theoretically, in like 2009, 2010, we could have two Sherlock Holmes movies in the same summer.
Why don't we do another one and have it star Martin Lawrence and Donny Osmond?
Or Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
No, we could do it with have it start Eddie Murphy.
Peter Dinklage.
And Eddie Murphy. Oh, can we talk about the Vern Troyer sex tape?
Sure.
Who the hell would buy this thing? Have you seen the clip on TMZ?
Yes, I've seen
it's
the clip.
It's not even
where
anything. He just sticks his tongue in her mouth.
Right. Which.
I would watch the sex tape with Peter Dinklage, though.
The Vern Troyer thing is so creepy. Because. I mean, I saw The Love Guru, and then I was in Cleveland, and my mom was watching The View, and he was on, and Mike Myers and Romani Malco and Vern Troyer were all on The View.
And did Vern Troyer stick his tongue in
no.
Mike Myers' mouth?
But Vern Troyer is the creepiest looking dude.
He is.
In the history. I mean, he's not just a little person. He's very creepy looking.
No pun, no offense, Vern.
No offense.
You're very creepy for a midget.
He's very... He's a very creepy looking dude. I mean, he doesn't look like a normal person, just smaller like Peter Dinklage. And he's also not a brilliant actor like Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage is awesome.
But I don't think I could watch even the novelty of a little person sex tape is not enough to make me want to watch this.
You want to just get Bridget the Midget. She's an actual professional porno star.
Like, there's just nothing about the Vern Troyer thing. His girlfriend was, she's good looking. Like, I would probably make a sex tape with her, but she's not hot enough to make me want to, like, run out and buy this. Why they're trying to sell it, I have no idea.
I would not do a three-way with, well, I guess it would be a two-and-a-half way. Did it with Vern Troyer and his girlfriend. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, man. This is a bad topic.
Was that offensive?
No, I'm not offended, but I'm sure he would be if he were here.
Was he going to punch me in the nutsack? Is that all there is?
He's really creepy. Just creepy. He's creepy incarnate.
Where's Carnate?
You. All right. So what else do we got to talk about?
I don't know. I think I already talked about pretty girls farting, gas prices, and money shots at an espresso massage bar.
Nice. I don't think I have anything that can really top that.
Is there any more news?
Well, I mean, there is.
Wake up, Neil Miller.
Not a whole lot of it's that interesting, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lindsay Lohan has an illegitimate sister and all that.
Yeah, fun times. Paul W.S. Anderson wants to make another Resident Evil movie, as if the last one wasn't enough.
I like, well, I'm not a huge Resident Evil.
I kind of liked the last one. I thought it was, you know.
I like Paul W.S. Anderson, although I have to say, I saw the trailer for Death Race, and I'm a little disappointed because it's like Death Race 2000.
Let's talk about that trailer for a second, because I think it's a good trailer until it breaks out in Welcome to the Jungle. Where does that
from
belong?
Peter Berg? You know, from Peter Berg movies.
Where the hell is Guns N' Roses not belong in trailers?
Well, and you know what? I love Death Race 2000 so much, and this one is just turns into the Condemned on wheels.
Yeah.
Although I will say that the girl in it smoking hot.
Yeah.
Smoking
Joan
hot.
Allen. Man.
Yeah.
I'd
do a 2.5-way with Joan Allen and Vern Troyer.
Yeah. You've just shown your cards. So speaking of trailers,
you could do a 3-way and you could do Joan Allen, Vern Troyer, and Peter Dinklage, and all.
And you'd totally be in there. You'd jump right in.
Yeah, because
you'd probably kill 2.5 people jumping into that.
They'd look at me and they'd be like, "Your 4-inch member is so impressive compared to these guys."
Wow. What else was I going to talk? Oh, speaking of trailers, did you see the new Bond trailer, Quantum of Solace?
No, I haven't.
Really good trailer.
Is it?
Yeah.
But I was too busy watching
really,
Legends.
You know what it has? You know what it really has? It has that like 70s palette to it in certain points, but it also, it was funny because
is it on Film School Rejects?
Yeah, I got
here. Let me pull it up and I'll watch it, and then we'll talk about it. And I'll just we'll just edit around it. Don't talk. How does the Mirrors trailer look?
I didn't watch it.
There, I'm gonna watch Quantum of Silence.
Quantum of Solace. I'm gonna watch it too.
That looks pretty cool. Is that Olga Kurylenko in the whole thing, or is that another girl?
No, that's Gemma Arterton.
She's hot.
She's hot, and then Olga Kurylenko is very hot as
well. I love Olga Kurylenko. Did they name it Quantum of Silence just so they can have the double O's in the name?
Maybe.
That's the only reason.
It's a really dumb title, but I think the movie's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it looks awesome.
Because I think it really, it feels, it was funny because we were watching it in L.A., and Peter from Slash Film and I were sitting there watching the trailer, and we both literally looked up from our computer screens and kind of went, this looks like a Bourne movie, you know?
Yeah,
like
there's a scene in it where they're in a room that looks exactly like where he's killing people with books.
Yeah, so I think that could be kind of cool. You combine, the legacy and the lore of Bond with that style that made Bourne very famous. I think you got a pretty badass flick.
Was when they're talking Vespa, were they talking about Eva Green's character?
In the first movie. So I guess it ties in.
I'm going to watch. Now we're going to watch the Mirrors trailer. Okay, so we watched the Mirrors trailer.
Why did I get the feeling that I just watched the whole movie?
Oh, it looks awesome. Alexander Aja, I love his stuff. I love the attention. I love The Hills Have Eyes.
I'm not saying I don't think that it would be scary or that I don't think it's gonna be a good movie. I just feel like I just watched the whole thing though. Like it really, like some of the parts in that trailer is like I can see that being the end of the movie. So I hope there's more.
There might be, but I think he's great at suspense and who plays the wife? She's smoking hot.
I can look that up for you.
And Amy Smart.
Amy Smart's in it. I mean, obviously
in a tub.
In a tub. That's always. I also think that this is one of those movies that I don't like. Horror movies that I don't like because it's like creepy and gross.
Yeah. Well, Robert Fury seemed to be interested in it.
Paula Patton?
Was she from
Deja Vu?
Deja Vu, okay.
Yeah.
Was she from Deja Vu?
Maybe. She was also in Idlewild.
Oh, man, who saw that?
I did. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought it was a really good movie. It was just underpromoted. And it was funny because we were at the junket and we were talking to Chuck Roven, who's the producer on The Dark Knight, who also produced Idlewild. And somebody, for some reason, asked him, "So what happened with Idlewild?" It was supposed to be on the heels of like a big album release,
Dreamgirls as well.
It was supposed to be on the heels of a big, what's the group called, Andre 3000 and Big Boy,
NSYNC.
No, shut up.
That's your favorite group?
Outkast. It was supposed to be It was supposed to be on the heels of the Outkast album,
one of the Backstreet
and a big
Boys,
single and no. And in the musical side of it, like their album never went anywhere and really, didn't do well for the movie.
Was she from Deja Vu?
Yeah. Stop. All right, now I get your joke.
Here. Oh, this you is, got it finally. I had to do it three times.
The problem is, it's not a funny joke.
It's hilarious. That's how they marketed the movie. Are we done yet?
I think we've so. Rambled. I don't think I like that trailer.
I do.
I think the movie looks good, but I think that you really, really need to not show as much in the trailer.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Well, it is a Red Band.
It is a Red Band trailer, but I feel like I saw the last scene of the movie in the trailer somewhere. Well, but whatever. Maybe that's just me. I watch too many trailers. I watch too many movies. But, yeah, that's how I feel. Do we have anything else to talk about, or can we go to a break and come back and wrap it up?
Do you have anything else to say about Pretty Girls Farting?
No? Question mark?
Give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
And as always, we're trying to wrap you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, and Kevin has got a new toy.
Yes, I do.
You have
from the small town of Heron Makishita.
He's got the Guru Pitka. You may have seen these. The Guru Pitka 8 Ball. Magic 8 Ball.
Which is really not an 8 Ball, it's the Guru Pitka.
It's the Guru Pitka that gives you answers. It doesn't...
They're not very good answers.
It doesn't work so well.
Go ahead. We'll test it out. Ask me a question, and I will answer it from the Guru Pitka's butt, which is where the
Is...
Come on!
Hancock going to make $150 million this weekend?
Okay, let's see. Hold on.
Can Kevin work the image?
Enlighten your load.
Enlighten your load.
That makes no sense.
No sense to the Hancock question.
Okay. What's the catchphrase of everyone's favorite for 2008? Let's see. And the answer is don't hate, meditate. This is as stupid as the movie was. I hate to tell you. I know you've got good friends over at Paramount, and trust me, I liked Iron Man, and I loved Indiana Jones, and I really thought Kung Fu Panda was cool. But
yeah,
although you know that Rajan Zed guy, who's that Hindu, the self-appointed Hindu leader of who's like really riling against the love guru, but not against like child sex slaves or whatever that
actually happened.
Yeah,
whereas the love guru is fake.
The love guru bombed, and it took him like a week to send out an annoying press release that said that. Then he's like a terrorist. He's claiming responsibility for the love guru.
He's sending out a tape. Yes. I killed the love guru.
Wow. On the radio, Neil the Racist.
That's how terrorists sound, I suppose.
I suppose.
I don't know. I don't know any.
Yeah, you do. You look like a terrorist. You shaved this.
I shaved, though.
He looks like Hancock.
I was going on to public today.
Did you use your fingernails the way Hancock did?
That'd be cool. I wish I could do that. I mean, that would take care of a lot of different expenses. I wouldn't have to buy razors.
How much do you spend on razors and
shaving?
I buy
nice razors.
Maybe like $20 a month?
So, I don't know.
Or a year?
Anyways, it's time to do the DVD roundup. All right, finally we get the sound effect back.
You didn't have it.
Well, no, last week we kind of had it. But
get Brian in the studio looking at YouTube. He wasn't going to do the sound effect at the right time.
My pick of the week is My Blueberry Nights, yet again another movie that I haven't seen. I'm going to watch it, though, after we record the show here. Here's why. Natalie Portman, Rachel Weisz, and Nora Jones, all hot. And
very
also
hot.
Jude Law, if you're a lady or a dude with a man crush, also hot. There's just a lot of good-looking people in this movie,
you've
which makes me want to see
a little too much.
Well, you know, I have that problem.
So you're saying you'd do a 2.5 way with Vern Troyer and Jude Law?
If the other three women were there, yeah.
That wouldn't be a 2.5
way. It'd be a 4.5 way.
Okay, that sounds like a candy bar. You know?
very sexual.
Let's
candy
move
bar.
On because this is the radio.
Right, moving on.
I'm going to pick Vantage Point.
Okay.
Much to the chagrin of many film critics that I know, I enjoyed Vantage Point. There's a lot of people who just riled against it, but it did okay. And I thought it was a pretty decent movie, actually.
I'm interested to see it because everybody I talk to has a different opinion about it. So,
well, and the thing is, everyone's like, oh, they just showed the same 12 minutes like 8 times. I'm like, well, yes and no, but they tell it so from different points of view. I mean, I don't think they a little bit of wasted time.
Right.
But not that much.
Okay, cool. And our stinker, we have two stinkers of the week.
You give yours.
Mine is Drillbit Taylor, because this is probably one of the most unfunny movies right down there. It's not as bad as Meet the Spartans, because I think it started out more intelligently. But Owen Wilson just really doesn't carry it by himself.
You know who had a great scene in the movie? Who's somewhat of a name, but
yeah.
Frank Whaley.
Frank Whaley.
He was the one who's like, I'll punch this guy out. And then he goes out of the he's interviewing. That's a funny scene.
Yeah.
For those of you who saw it, for those of you who didn't see it, you're going to be like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. So, not.
My stinker of the week is Batman the movie. Not Tim Burton's Batman, not Batman Begins. It's the 1966 Adam West, Burt Ward Batman movie, which has been released 9 million times because it's the only old Batman property that actually goes and gets released on VHS and DVD. There's a whole rights issue with the TV show.
Right.
And they just keep re-releasing it like every 5 weeks.
They just came out with it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Why do we need this on why do we need this in high definition? I mean, seriously, you're like, oh, so I can actually see the grain from the film from the 60s?
Right.
I mean, did you...
So what you're saying is it's not as much a bad movie, you just are opposed to releasing it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's like doing another Evil Dead release. The most recent Evil Dead release was really cool.
Because it had like the case.
It was like a box set and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But you can go find Evil Dead. It's like Evil Dead, Night of the Living Dead, and there's another one, and it's like Roadhouse or something like that gets released 9 million times. Do you remember what it is? It's the most released. Is it Men in Black?
Maybe.
I caught a lot of flack for saying that Men in Black wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, well, you know, you would.
I know.
So.
Review wrap up.
We had Kit Kittredge and American Girl, which I said
kind of rocked.
And I said kind of sucks because I'm not in tune with 12-year-old girls,
yes.
Despite what Kevin would lead you to believe. And then we had Hancock, the big Will Smith movie.
I said it sucked.
And I said kind of rocks, both because I sort of enjoyed it and because I need to disagree with Kevin even further. Next week we've got...
Can I say something about you, though? Geez, since you shaved and your microphone's covering the bottom half, you look like a gay porno star.
Thank you.
Because you look like you just have a mustache.
Thank you. Next week I will be back in full gay porno star mode to review Journey to the Center of the Earth, Hellboy 2, which I already saw, and Meet Dave.
And we'll have a special guest in the studio, which we'll find out next week.
Have a special guest. If you'd like to get us in between now and then, you can get us at fatguysthemovies.com. You can also check us on iTunes. Email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or call us 614-388-8735. That's all I got. I hate you.
This is what I have to think about Sheryl Crow. Ooh, oh.
Yeah.
You may want to put your shirt over your nose.
Oh, my fucking gas mask on. I fucking hate you. I'm so glad you're back, but I still fucking hate you.